Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on story time when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and the eighth planks of the Communist Manifesto. These programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. The income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. This income tax requires that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. The income tax requires that we sign contracts with their foreign and alien gods in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. The Social Security Act violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed, and then we're taught to call that income redistribution. The scripture calls it just what it is, covetousness, in violation of Exodus 20, verse 17. And you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way in our Constitution. That's why I contend that you and I ought to learn and practice that better way. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. That number again, 417-273-4967. Our tax and status, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Story time, a series of stories that deal with real life. It's the way Jesus taught. He taught, and they call them parables, you know, in the New Testament they're called parables. And in fact, he never talked to a public group without a parable. It's a statute in the scripture that mentions that. So he was quite a storyteller, and he was using real life experiences or an analogy or a simile to get a point across. And I thought I'd share a little with you here on the subject of vaccination. You know, vaccination is about as serious as a heart attack. People take vaccinations very, very seriously. And if you're not vaccinated, you're an American. Americans believe in vaccination like they believe in going to heaven and going to hell. I mean, it's almost like a religious tenet over in this country. And so if you're not vaccinated, you know, people, you know, they want to stay away from you because they're afraid of you. I mean, literally, fear grips people when there's a disease going around and they don't have a cure for it, they don't have a vaccine. And Americans believe in vaccines 88 88%. I mean, 88% of Americans believe in vaccines, have their children vaccinated. They're all vaccinated. 12% of Americans, there's something wrong with them. I'm not quite sure what it is that's wrong, but something is very wrong with 12% of us. And I say 12% of us because I'm one of that minority. I'm not vaccinated. And my children weren't vaccinated. And my children went to public school and they weren't vaccinated. Once in a while, you'll find somebody in the military service that's unvaccinated. It's rare, but it's not unheard of. And a question arises among those that are vaccinated, well, how in the world do you get away with breaking the law like that? Because after all, it's the law. In fact, the other day I was watching, I think it was on McNeil there, in Maryland, they started arresting people. Well, they actually didn't arrest them. They sent them notice, and they had to come down on Saturday and explain to a judge why it is that their kid wasn't vaccinated, why this kid is going to public school and he's not vaccinated. And almost all of these people were black. They were showing pictures. I'm not trying to be a racist here, you know. I'm just telling you they were showing pictures of the line of people. There must have been 100 people in line waiting to get into the courthouse on Saturday. They were lined up outside. I mean, there must have 1,000 people there. And they were parents. And so the TV reporter, he'd go up to ask this lady, well, what are you doing here? And she was kind of incensed, you know, that she'd been called in here, you know, to answer to the judge why her kid wasn't vaccinated. And she said, you know, not everybody has the money to get vaccinated. When I was a kid, they used to vaccinate you free in public school. You just needed to sign the paper, you know. Now, somehow or another, I escaped vaccinations. My old granny, she thought that if God had intended you to be vaccinated, he would have designed you with a needle sticking out of your arm so that the doctor could just hook up his syringe to the needle that was already there. And absent that invention or that needle sticking out of your arm, that probably it wasn't a good idea. She was kind of a superstitious lady, you know. She believed in the American Astrology magazine and horoscopes and things like that. And she voted a straight Republican ticket, so you know something wasn't exactly right with her. But anyway, that was her thinking on that, and so I kind of escaped it. Now, sometimes when I mention this to people, they say, my God, that Gordon is woefully uninformed. So I thought before we got into the vaccination stories here, that I would inform you that I'm looking at my file on vaccination. I have a document in here, how to legally avoid unwanted immunizations of all kinds. I have the Montana exemption law on vaccination. And then I have a number of articles on vaccinations. I have books, you know, like Murder by Injection. I have a book called Murder by Injection. Obviously, it's an anti-vaccination book. And then I have, and my file folder here on articles that I've taken off the internet is 3/4 of an inch thick. So I can't tell you that I have a file folder that's an inch thick. It isn't an inch. It's only 3/4 of an inch, so I measured it. So I'd let you know that I'm not totally uninformed as to the vaccination issue. And I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't have your kids vaccinated. If you want to have your child vaccinated and you're in that 88% of the people who are in the majority, boy, get after it, would you? Go out there and get vaccinated. What I'm objecting to is that you, the majority out there, you overzealous vaccination advocates out there, are trying to force this vaccination on us, the 12% that are in the minority. That's what I oppose. I'm opposed to that. And probably you're concerned with good caution, you know, good reason. That is, you're concerned that if I am not vaccinated, that I'm going to give you some horrible disease. And that's why everybody needs to be vaccinated. Well, let me tell you a couple of stories around this subject matter of vaccination. Let me see if I can assuage your fears so that you don't, you know, run off and commit suicide or do something irrational because I haven't been vaccinated and you have. And that you're going to get this terrible disease from me because I'm one of those crazies out here in the lunatic fringe that didn't get vaccinated. Years and years ago, I had a boy named Ted. And I still have a boy named Ted, but it's but he's not a little kid anymore. He was about 5-6 years old. And he was in either kindergarten or first grade, and I can't remember exactly which. And I sent him to a private school. So here he is going to a private school, and one day he comes home with a note. And I got the note, and so I read the note, and it said, next Wednesday we're going to have vaccinations. And and we want you to sign this permission slip, just sign this paper, and we'll accept that as your permission, and we will vaccinate your little boy Ted. I thought that was real big of them. I don't know if there was a charge or not. Probably not. Here again, you know, if you send your kid to public school, they'll have vaccination day. They did when I went to school. I don't know if you had to pay for that or not, but I thought it was free. Now, when I was a kid, you had about 2 or 3 vaccinations. I don't remember what they were for. Probably smallpox, you know, and a couple others. And then as the years went by, until as I speak to you today, 35 vaccinations. Your child is going to be shot up 35 times by the time he's 5 years old if you follow the vaccination regimen that is prescribed by most states in the United States. 35 vaccinations. And there's some concern about these vaccines, and especially the thimerosal contained in many of these vaccines that causes autism. Or that it causes there's a syndrome here, what they call it. Crib death is what they commonly call it. And over in Japan, they discovered that by postponing the vaccine regimen until children are 2 years old, that it cut the sudden infant death syndrome by 50% by just waiting until they were 2 years old instead of starting off when they're 2 months old. So I just pass these little tidbits of information on to you, and maybe it makes some difference to you, maybe it doesn't. And again, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not trying to get you to vaccinate your kid. I'm not trying to get you not to vaccinate your kid. Remember, this is an investigative reporter reporting stories, and this just happens to be the vaccination story. But I didn't want you to think that even though I'm in that minority, 12%, that I was totally uninformed. I think that I'm very, very well informed on both sides of the vaccination issue. After all, I have a file here that's 3/4 of an inch thick. I have several books in my library on vaccination. And so I have taken the time to read books and articles and pros and cons, and health professionals, you know, have advised me and so on. And so, you know, I'm pretty well informed, and I made a decision. Everybody has to make that decision. And my decision is vaccinations are bad for you. Bad for me, bad for your children, bad for you. But I'm not trying to avoid vaccines and vaccinations, you know, for some political reason. I'm not trying to get you on the bandwagon one way or the other. I'm just going to give you a report here. So here's my little boy, Ted. He's got this note. So I sat down and I wrote a little short letter, probably a couple paragraphs, and I pointed out that I was a religious objector. And so there you have it. On religious grounds, I object to vaccinations. I also object to vaccinations on scientific grounds, ethical grounds, and moral grounds. So I'm opposed to vaccination on several fronts, not the least of which is political. I'm also politically opposed to vaccination. So, I mean, I've got several reasons why I think vaccinations are bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil, and I don't want them. And I'm in this little minority of 12% of the population. And I wrote this to the school nurse. And in essence, I said, now, if this is going to be a problem, I'm opposed to this vaccination thing, and I don't want my boy vaccinated next Wednesday. And if this is going to pose a problem, I will keep him home on Wednesday so that you don't make a mistake and accidentally vaccinate my boy. Because you may rest assured that if you accidentally vaccinate my boy, or if you vaccinate my boy on purpose against my will and over my objection, litigation will surely follow. What that means is that I'll sue your hiney off if you vaccinate my kid. That's how serious I am about this vaccination thing. Now, most parents, they just sign little pieces of paper like that without a second thought and send their kid off to school. He gets vaccinated. And most people think that vaccinations are fairly harmless and that they don't cause any damage, and, you know, they're, and if they do, it's well worth the risk. And they don't think too much about it. And again, I'm not picking on people because they do that. I just wanted to let you know and the school nurse know that I'm opposed to it and I don't want it. All right. Now, with that out of the way, the school nurse called me back. You know, a couple days later, you know, I get this call on the telephone and my secretary passed the call off on to me. And I said, "Hi, my name is George Gordon and you're calling and what can I do to help you?" And so she preached me a sermon for about 5 minutes about the benefits of vaccines and vaccinations and how it's the law and everybody has to do it, whether we like it or not, and it's good for the children. And thank God for vaccinations, because without them, humankind would have died out and perished long ago. And that probably the only reason that humanity is still alive today is because of the invention of vaccinations. And I listened patiently as she explained to me what they were going to do and how it works and what vaccines were being used and how safe and effective they were. And I listened to the whole story. And when she got through with the story, I said, "Well, thank you very much for calling me. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule to give me these facts and figures and this information." Now, to get to the point, I don't want my son vaccinated. And if this is going to pose a problem to you now next Wednesday, now I'll keep him home so that that doesn't pose a problem for all the rest of the little kids. Doesn't pose a problem to you, doesn't pose a problem to him, and so on. And there was this immediate response. I mean, she just shot right back, and she reiterated how important this was. I mean, this is life and death. This is serious business. Now, Mr. Gordon, maybe I have failed to alert you to the seriousness of these vaccines and the good that they cause and that they do and how wonderful they are and how they've saved mankind and so on. And so I reminded her one more time. I said, "Thank you very much." And she asked me in a kind of a roundabout way, "What kind of a dirty, sorry animal are you that you hate your son to such a degree that you would deny him the benefits of modern science, modern medicine, that could save him from some horrendous disease?" I mean, she practically said, "If you don't vaccinate your son next Wednesday, you hate your child." And that was the bottom line. So, you know, I thought about that for a second, and I said, "Well, let me ask you a question." And I'm sure that you're very sincere. You sound very sincere. And you've taken your time now to inform me of this, but let me ask you a question. Are there any other children in school that are not going to be vaccinated next Wednesday? And she said, "None. Yours is the only one. Your child is going to be left out." And I said, "Okay. Well, let me ask you another question. If a child is vaccinated, does that protect that child against that disease?" And she said, "Absolutely. Yes, of course it does." And so, if a child was vaccinated against measles, let's say, then that means that the child, if he's exposed to somebody that has measles, he won't get it because he's been protected. Yes, yes, Mr. Gordon, that's the purpose behind this. See, she could see that she was making some progress now. That she's getting through to me because I'm so damn dense, you know, and so damn dumb, you know, I just couldn't grasp it. And now she's starting to make some headway. I said, okay, now I got that, I think. Now let me ask you this. If a child has been vaccinated and can't get this disease, then I guess it would follow that this child could not pass this disease on to somebody else because he's been immunized and protected. Yes, yes, Mr. Gordon. That's exactly correct. Your child, once he's been immunized, will not be able to give or transmit that disease to somebody else. So if you're vaccinated, you can't get the disease. And if you've been vaccinated, you cannot give anybody else the disease. Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Gordon, that's exactly the reason why we want to vaccinate all the little boys and girls. And she was feeling real proud of herself that she'd gotten this far. All right, now, is everybody out there in Radio Land now? You got this? If your child is vaccinated, your child cannot catch this disease, and your child cannot give you this disease. Okay, now that's the story that you've been told, isn't it? All right. Now, I said to the lady, to the school nurse, now, my child is going to be the only child in school who is not vaccinated. Now, is that correct? And she said, yes, yep, that's correct. You'll be the only one. I said, all right. Well, then, that solves everybody's problem. It solves everybody's problem because my child will be the only child there who has not been immunized, and all of the other little boys and girls are going to be immunized. Therefore, based upon what you've told me so far, my child will not be able to give any disease that he might have to any of the other children because they're all protected. And my child will not be able to receive any disease from any of the other children there because they're all protected and they can't give him the disease. So he can't get this disease from any of those children, and he cannot give this disease to any of them. So what's the problem? And she said, but your child will be unprotected and he might get the disease. And I said, where's he going to get it from? Well, he could get it from anybody that's unvaccinated. Okay. So the only people that can get this disease are those that are unvaccinated. She said, yeah. I said, did you know that 88% of the people in this country are already vaccinated? And she said, yes, yep. So he can only get that from that 12% minority. And they're pretty rare, aren't they? So it's going to be a pretty rare event that he's going to come in contact with somebody that's unvaccinated. And it's going to be an even rarer event if he comes in contact with somebody that's unvaccinated who is a carrier of the disease and who is spreading it. So it's not a very good bet that he's going to get the disease, whether he's vaccinated or not. And then I pointed out to her, I said, did you know that the greatest source of polio in this country is from vaccinated children? And she said, yes, she knew that. I said, last year there were 69 cases of polio and all of them came from vaccinated children. Did you know that? And she said, yeah. So I said, it's pretty obvious then that just because you've been vaccinated does not mean that 100% of the time you're not going to get the disease, doesn't it? And she said, yeah. So I said, then there isn't any real need for my child to be vaccinated then, is there? And there was this long, pregnant pause. It's the long pregnant pause that you receive from people when, for the first time in their lives, they have been hit between the eyes with reason, logic, and common sense. It's very rare. It doesn't occur very often. But once in a while, you'll see that. And so she said, well, thank you, Mr. Gordon, and she hung up, and that was the end of the conversation. My boy Ted was not vaccinated, and he lived to be 18, 20 years old, and he joined the Army. And when he went into the Army, he got all the vaccinations and everything that he needed to make him healthy and happy. And I mean, that's the way people are. I protected him for the first 18 years from vaccines, and then he went out and went ahead and got them. He was an adult. It was a decision that he needed to make, and he went ahead and made it. Now, sometimes people believe that they have to have these vaccinations. School nurses oftentimes will tell you it's the law. Well, let me tell you that it is. There is a law out there, and it says that all children have to be vaccinated. And it's called the Law of General Applicability. And these laws of general applicability apply to everybody but SEPT. Now, there are some people that are but SEPTs. Let's take a look at a couple of but SEPTs. Let's suppose that you've got AIDS for whatever reason, or you have some lupus or something else, you know, an immune system deficiency. And if you got a vaccine, it could kill you. And so, and you have to be very careful because of your compromised immune system about introducing diseases into your body because you don't have an immune system that can deal with it. Well then, you know, if this vaccine is likely to kill you if you take it, don't you think that there should be some provision written into the law that would exempt you because you've got this lupus or AIDS or some other autoimmune disease? Well, whether you believe it or not, do you know that your legislature has put in a medical exemption for that? And so you go to your doctor and you say, well, doc, they want to vaccinate my boy. What do you think about my boy Ted being vaccinated with his immune system being compromised? And the doctor would sit down and say, this is crazy. This is preposterous. Let me give him an exemption. And he'd write up an exemption and you'd give that to the school nurse. And that very same school nurse, who's very, very medically attuned, would say, oh, yes, Mr. Gordon, your son has an autoimmune disease. And yes, he's going to be exempted from the program. Okay, well, now if he's going to be exempted from the program, then what's the problem? All the rest of the kids are going to be vaccinated, and every kid that's vaccinated can't receive the disease and can't give it. And so, yeah, your kid's not vaccinated, but if he got vaccinated, it would kill him anyway. And so, you know, let's just take our chances with the 12% that are not vaccinated. Let's just take the chance that, well, maybe he will or he won't get the disease. See, that goes on all the time. And the school nurse doesn't think that parents of children that have autoimmune deficiencies are crazies or lunatic fringers. But if some guy comes along and says, I have a file here that's 3/4 inch thick that deals with vaccination, and I'm pretty well informed concerning vaccination, and you have a rational discussion with this person, they think you're a nut, a fruitcake. You're not a fruitcake if you got a medical exemption, but you're a fruitcake if you don't. All right, so there's one exemption. Are there any other exemptions? Well, yeah, there are. So hang on a minute, and we'll give you your mid-course reminder, and we'll be back with some more exemptions on vaccination right after this. Now, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review up to this point in time, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed to the webpage as well. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Just ask us and say, hey, send me that free CD package, would you? And we'll be happy to. The number again is 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. Now, they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers or our sponsors or management or staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just call us or go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about vaccinations and the value of them. You know, they're very valuable. You should probably be vaccinated. I don't know whether you should be or not. I determined that I shouldn't be vaccinated, and I determined that my children shouldn't be vaccinated, and that we shouldn't be exposed to the risks that go with vaccinations. See, there are some risks. Autism is a risk that you run, and crib death is a risk that you run, and then there are a number of injuries that occur. And death that comes from Alzheimer's disease and a whole host and plethora of other degenerative diseases that are traced to inoculations. So I just wanted to point out that it is not risk-free. There are some risks. They're not great. Millions of people are vaccinated every year. And a few hundred of those millions of people die from those vaccinations. Not an overwhelming number of people, but some do. It's a risk that you run. And I decided I didn't want to run the risk. I didn't think that the cost-benefit ratio was of such a nature that it would require me to be vaccinated, and so I elected not to. Now, that's my choice. Not just a choice. But I'm not a threat to you. I'm not any kind of a threat to you at all. If you have been vaccinated, if I come into the room and I've got the disease, you can't get it. Remember, you're vaccinated. You're prepared. You're protected. So sit back and relax. The only people that have to be concerned are those that are unvaccinated, aren't they? And you don't have to worry about giving me the disease because you can't give it to me because you can't get it to give it to me. Remember? Okay, so everybody's happy here. Now, my little girl was over here in public school at the Ludi School, and this is a different child now. I had more than one. And the school nurse called and said, hey, your kid ain't vaccinated. Kind of like the Maryland people, you know, your kid ain't vaccinated. And if your kid ain't vaccinated, we're going to kick your kid out of school. And then your kid will be truant. And then we'll have you arrested for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. And they get kind of nasty, threatening. It's the law, you know. Get over here and obey the law like everybody else. So I jumped in my pickup and I ran over to the school and I said, I'd like to talk to the school nurse. And so the school nurse came in. Oh, Mr. Gordon, so good to see you here today. And I said, now, my wife told me, she's not home, she went to town today, but she told me that she had come over and taken care of the vaccination thing by filling out the waiver. Now, here in Missouri, we have a waiver form. And so when I mentioned the word waiver, the school nurse said, oh, let me look. And so she went over to the file, and she looked in the file, and sure enough, here was the waiver. Now, the waiver is for religious objectors or people with medical problems and so on, and you have to ask for it. No school nurse is going to inform you that there is a way for you to avoid vaccines and vaccinations. They're not going to do that. They're not going to tell you that there's a medical exemption, and they all know it. They're not going to tell you that there's a religious exemption, and they all know about it. And that's because they want everybody vaccinated. So if you don't know that there is a medical exemption, you will go in there because you're cunningly coerced and have your kid vaccinated, even though it may be extremely hazardous for your child to be vaccinated because of his medical condition that maybe you don't know anything about. And you may be a religious objector, and you may be cunningly coerced into waiving your rights due to your ignorance because of the pressure that'll be put upon you, peer pressure and legal pressure and so on. So as soon as she saw the waiver and it was in the file and everything was fine, well, oh, okay, Mr. Gordon, I'll stop and think about this one for a moment. The nurse calls me on the phone, and she's just dripping venom. I mean, she's like a rattlesnake that's reared up, you know, and got his fangs showing, and there's just venom, you know, dripping out of his fangs. You know, I mean, this woman is just plain mad. To think that George Gordon has a child in public school that's not vaccinated. Now, after I go over there and she sees the waiver in the file folder, she's just happy as a clam at high tide. There's no problem. Well, there must not have been any problem with or without the waiver, was there? I mean, think about it pragmatically. There's a piece of paper in the file that exempts my kid from being vaccinated. Oh, that's okay, Mr. Gordon. Isn't she just the same kind of threat to all the rest of the little kids 5 minutes after we discovered the waiver in the file folder that she was 5 minutes before? Nothing's changed, has it? She's still not vaccinated. Now, when she's unvaccinated, she's a god-awful threat to everybody else in the public school, even though they've all been vaccinated and protected. As soon as the waiver is there, then she's a normal little kid complying with the law and everything's fine. No problem. What do you think of that? Kind of stupid, isn't it? See, Americans are more concerned about the letter of the law than they are the reason, logic, or common sense behind the law. Now, there's lots of people out there that are religious people that read the Bible. I'm one of those. One of those crazy lunatic fringe. My conclusion is that scripturally, vaccination is illegal and unlawful. It violates the law of God. And there are millions of people out there that have that same belief. In fact, most of the 12% of the people in the country that are objecting to vaccinations do it on religious grounds. You know, like Christian Scientists, for instance, and maybe Jehovah's Witnesses, and maybe the Amish people, and I don't know what particular religions and so on, you know, but just that there's some out there, you know, that are kind of lunatic fringers out there. So the legislatures, they all write that into the law. Every state in the union has an exemption for medical or religious objectors, except two states. Just two states don't. And that's Mississippi and West Virginia. Now, that does not mean that if you live in Mississippi or West Virginia, that you have to be vaccinated, even though your immune system has been compromised, and that you have to be killed because it's the law. And it's just that in those two states, Mississippi and West Virginia, to get a medical exemption, you have to go to your doctor and get your exemption. And then you have to go into your local district court and sue the school board. And you have to file suit against the school board and ask for a temporary restraining order and an injunction against the school board. And you have to, typically, you know, if you're a normal guy, you'd probably have to hire a lawyer. It's probably going to cost you $2,000 or $3,000 to do this. Or you can move out of Mississippi or West Virginia, whichever your choice is. Or you could train yourself and you could go in pro se. Now, it doesn't cost me anything. I can go into my local court and sue the school board over here and say, here's what I want. And that's what a lawsuit is. It says, in effect, I've got a bitch with somebody and I need it adjudicated. And so we bring a judge into the game, and the judge listens to the evidence. And your doctor would come in and testify, and he'd say, why, this guy can't have vaccines. Why, he's got lupus. Why, if you give him a vaccine, it'll kill him. That's my professional opinion. And the judge will listen to that and say, well, that makes all the sense in the world. I think I'll issue this injunction against the school and forbid them from killing this guy by giving him this vaccine. Or you could go in there and you could say, well, I belong to this or that religious organization, and I'm opposed to this vaccine on these grounds. And then the judge would look at his list and he'd say, oh, yeah, that church over here is on the list. Those people are all exempted. Yeah, I think because of this guy's First Amendment, this is constitutionally provided for now under the First Amendment, and he would exempt you, see? And you could be a person like me. See, I'm not on anybody's list. I don't come up on the radar screen at all. So I don't belong to any churches, and I don't have any official list that I could come to. So I'd have to come in and testify myself that I'm a religious religious objector seeking the exemption because of my truly and sincerely held religious beliefs under Seeger versus United States. And then the judge would listen to me, and then he'd say, well, are you the only guy in the world doing this? And I'd say, no, there's quite a few other Hebrews out here that all practice this. And I'd bring in two more witnesses. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall the matter be established. And the judge would listen to that, and he'd say, yeah, I think you're right, Mr. Gordon, and I think I'll give you that exemption just like I would if you were a Jehovah's Witness or somebody else. See how easy that is? No big deal. Now, here's the law in Montana. Now, all the states in the union have various and sundry laws, but I thought I'd just run a couple of statutes by it. Here's a question. Does Montana have exemptions to vaccination requirements? And the answer is yes. Montana has both medical and religious exemptions. The religious exemption is a general one. Therefore, anyone who believes it is in the best interest of their child or adult to not vaccinate is eligible to claim the religious exemption. And under federal laws, religious practices are defined by law to include moral or ethical beliefs about what is right and wrong that are sincerely held with the strength of traditional views. That comes from 29 CFR A71605.1. Now, for additional information on religion and vaccination, see www.vaclib.org/links/religion. How's that? That's www.vaclib.org. Question. Does this exemption mentioned above apply to daycare? Yes. See sections below. Relevant phrases are bolded. Question. Where do I get exemption forms? Answer. A good source is the office of your local grade school. Some links to downloadable forms are at www.vaclib.org. PDF exemption. How do you like that? Now, here's the Montana Code, in case you want to hear some legalese. It's in section 20-5-403. And it's called Immunization Required, Release and Acceptance of Immunization Records. One, the governing authority of any school other than a post-secondary school may not allow any person to commence attendance as a pupil unless the person A has been immunized against diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, polio, rubella, mumps, and measles in the manner and with immunizing agents approved by the department, except that pertussis vaccination is not required for a person 7 years of age or older. B, if you have been immunized against hemophilus influenza type B before enrolling in a preschool if under 5 years of age, or C, qualifies for conditional attendance, or D, files for an exemption. files for an exemption. Did you get that? All right. Want to file for an exemption? You can. Now, you got all these people in Maryland. The other day, I mentioned this to you. Lined up outside the courthouse. And they've been summoned in to answer the judge as to why it is that in the state of Maryland they have not had their child immunized. And so these people are complaining about, well, it's so far to the doctor's office. And, well, you know, I'm just so busy. Well, it's just so expensive and I'm just so poor. You know, they've got all these lying excuses. Judges have a tremendous tolerance for liars. They listen to liars coming into the courtroom every day, and they just sit there and lie and lie and lie. You know, they lie when the truth would serve their purpose better. And except for Mississippi and West Virginia, there's an exemption for everybody out there. Now listen, if you're a Catholic, a Protestant, or a Jew, just, you know, an average run-of-the-mill Joe Sixpack, the law requires that you get your vaccination, so get down there and get vaccinated and shut up, you whiners. Now, if you've got a legitimate medical excuse, then go down to your doctor and get a medical waiver. Or if you have a legitimate religious excuse, I mean, if you've looked in the Bible and you come to the conclusion that vaccination's probably bad for you and that maybe you ought to be, you know, rethinking this vaccination thing. Well, then, why don't you change your views a little bit? Now, vaccination's kind of like politics and religion. Everybody's got a view. And if you ever ask yourself, well, where did I get this view anyway? And I remember as a youngster growing up, I was a Republican. I was a Republican in a Democratic state. I was a Republican when everybody, all the other kids in school were Democrats. I mean, to find a Republican in the Eureka City school system from 1945, you know, during the Roosevelt era, from 45 until you know, I graduated in 1957, was impossible. I mean, there weren't any Republicans. And if they were, they weren't admitting it. They were just crazies out there. And so my grandmother, she was a rabid Republican. Hell, she would have voted for Fidel Castro. Well, if Castro ran on the Republican ticket, she would have voted for him. She voted for Earl Warren. No, she voted for Eisenhower. And that's the way people are. Now, on the other side of the fence, you know, people, normal people, were Democrats. And they voted for Franklin D. Roosevelt. And they had 55 good reasons why they were Democrats and why they voted for Democrats. I remember some of my friends, you know, they'd spend hours with me trying to convince me that I should vote Democratic, that I should be a Democrat, that the Republicans were all bad, wicked, terrible, awful, evil people who had terrible underarm smelly problems, and that they were really low lifes, and that I didn't want to be one of those, and that I was above all that. That didn't have any effect on me. Now, it didn't have any effect on me until Ronald Reagan got into office, and then all of a sudden, you know, when I saw conservatism, you know, in its finest hour, and then Ronald Reagan spent more money than all the rest of the presidents combined, you know, I thought, gosh, this guy's not a conservative. He calls himself that. And then George Bush came into office. And I said, if George Bush hasn't cured you from Republican politics, nothing will. Nothing. So, you know, that's the Republican side of it. And then, of course, there's the Democrats over here, you know. I mean, if Franklin Roosevelt didn't cure you from Democratic politics or Jimmy Carter, you know, nothing's going to do that. And people are sincere. I mean, they get real, real excited, and they get real, real vociferous, you know, and visceral, you know, when it comes to politics and religion. My question is, well, why? I remember I went to my class reunion. I don't know if it was, you know, 15, 20, 25, something like that. They asked me, we were talking, you know, having some drinks, and we were chit-chatting a little bit with some of my old buddies, you know. And, well, how are you going to vote in the upcoming election? It's kind of like, you know, talking about elections now, you know. How are you going to vote in the upcoming election? And I said, well, I'm going to vote for Gus Hall. You know, Gus Hall's back in the old days. Gus Hall used to be the head of the Communist Party. And I said, I'm going to vote the straight communist ticket. And all my friends are sitting there, you know, just their mouths dropped open like, we knew Gordon was weird, but we didn't know that he was un-American. And so, and naturally, you know, they all wanted to know, well, my God, why in the world would you want to vote for a communist? And I said, well, because I'm a communist. And then you know, David said, well, why are you a communist? And I said, well, because I attend public school, and I send my children to public school. It's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. The public school system is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, and I practice that. And I said, I pay the income tax. I have a taxpayer identification number, and I participate in the heavy progressive income tax. And I use Federal Reserve notes. I practice the Federal Reserve monetary system of the United States, the 5th plank to the Communist Manifesto. I have a Social Security number, which is the 8th plank to the Communist Manifesto. I said I've been informed, and I have researched this out. I practice all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and I thought the only logical thing for me to do was to vote for the communist candidate, since I'm a communist. I practice communism. Now, of course, everybody else sitting here at the table, they all send their children to public schools, and they all pay the income tax, and they all use Federal Reserve notes, and they all have Social Security numbers. But it never made any kind of an impression on anybody. Nobody at the table ever said, oh my God, I'm a communist also. Not a single person there said, well, Jesus, I ought to vote for Gus Hall too because I'm a communist. Now, of course, I just kind of pulling everybody's leg. I didn't vote for Gus Hall because I don't vote at all. I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I used to be a Republican. And then I got to looking at this thing of politics, and I said, this politics thing over here is kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, Americans are the world's number one preeminent communists. We practice all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And then get real mad at people because, you know, they support communist ideology around the world. You know, we're just real uptight about Mao Zedong and Joe Stalin, you know. And I don't know why. And we do all those things. I mean, if you took a look at communism and this battle, you know, between the communists of the East and the capitalists of the West, and ask yourself, well, who won this contest? Boys and girls, the communists won hands down. Why do I say that? Well, because if you take a look at the Bill of Rights, if you take a look at the Ten Commandments, you're going to find that the communists have not adopted a single one of the Ten Commandments, and the communists in Russia and China have not adopted a single point of our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. But we Americans have adopted all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and we all practice them right here in Poughkeepsie, New York, and Los Angeles, California. And so, when I apply that to our actions, like vaccinations, you know, Americans are all in favor of vaccinations, 88%, and only 12% are opposed to vaccinations. Nobody ever goes to the Bible and looks in the Bible to find out what the Bible has to say about vaccinations. Well, most people don't. Now, there's a couple of crazies out there. There's a guy by the name of Pete Peters. You know, and he runs a church out in Colorado. He's kind of a crazy lunatic fringe. And he put out warning, vaccinations are dangerous. Eli Lilly, Merck and Pfizer, by Pastor Peter J. Peters. Publishing information, first printing August 1993. Published by Scriptures for America Ministries in La Porte, Colorado. I'm not promoting Pete Peters. and I'm not telling you to give your heart to Jesus here today. And one thing and another, I just want to point out that here's one religious guy over here, and he starts off with an introduction, and he goes through here. He says, warning, vaccinations are dangerous. And many have warned us. Physicians and toxicologists and family practitioners and, you know, physician and toxicologist George R. Schwartz, M.D., writes, certainly, the smallpox vaccine is an example of one routine shot which was eventually discontinued when the morbidity of occurrence of the illness from the immunization exceeded the benefit. So when you go in to get a smallpox vaccination, more people die from smallpox vaccinations than die from smallpox. More people die from polio vaccinations than die from polio. Scientific facts. I'm just making my report. If you want these vaccines, you know, go line up. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Warning, it's all by design. It's a political plot. And so on. And I thought Pastor Peters did a hell of a neat job. And then he's got a little section in here to show you how to avoid getting these vaccines and vaccinations. You know, and he's got this a proclamation on vaccinations. To whom it may concern, be it known, based upon the teachings of the Bible, it is our religious conviction not to have our children vaccinated. And then he points to Public Law 97-280, passed by the 97th Congress. And he says the Bible teaches that the truthfulness of an issue, you know, ought to be brought forward. And he cites some scripture in here, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, and Romans 13:10, James 2:8, and so on. I thought he did a pretty good job, you know, for a preacher. Most preachers, you know, they don't know their hind end from a hot rock, but this guy's head screwed on straight in my view when it comes to vaccines. I don't know about the rest of his theology, but he has a pretty good point here. Now, the reason that I bring this to your attention is because here's another book over here. It says, How to Legally Avoid Unwanted Immunizations of All Kind. And it's published by the Humanitarian Publishing Company. It's in my file folder here, you know, the one that's 3/4 inch thick. How to legally avoid unwanted immunizations. If you want to do that, call us here at the law school. Just give us a call and say, hey, I'd like to get out of this vaccine thing. Could you steer me in the right direction? I think we could probably do that. So anyway, there's the story on vaccines and vaccinations. I thought you'd be kind of tickled to death here to have a little bit of information on that and put this back in my file folder as we close this out, my 3/4 inch, and I'll put this back in my file cabinet. And I've taught on this subject once or twice before, and I'll probably teach on it once or twice again. So there's my take on vaccines and vaccinations. All right, now with that out of the way, let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet every day. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call us direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's 417-273-4967. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.